Well, welcome everyone. It is now season 2, episode 1 of Common Prayer. My name is Brandon, and I'm the worship pastor here at Central Peninsula Church, and I am joined here by two other people. One, Kevin Sneed.
Hello, hello everyone.
Kevin is our generations pastor, and we also have Kathy Bergeron, who is our women's pastor.
Woo-woo!
Yeah. The one, the only, Kathy B.
So we're going to talk about everything that's going to be coming with season 2 of Common Prayer. I'm actually super excited about what's coming forward. But before we do that, Kevin, I just want to revamp or rediscover what started this whole thing. This started kind of at the beginning of the pandemic. I remember you saying that you thought we just needed something to kind of unify us and that kind of thing. But if you could go into sort of what was the start of this whole Common Prayer journey, why did we do it?
Yeah, you know, shortly into the beginning of all of this, we recognized, I think a lot of us at the church realized that we were going to be fractured as a community, that for a while we were going to be just kind of physically distant. And we really felt that created a sort of void, realizing that we weren't able to gather. We weren't able to kind of engage in our regular rhythms for all of that. And so we wanted to, it kind of came out of this idea of wanting to find a way to unify, wanting to find a way to be together, hence the name Common Prayer, like being in a communal kind of aspect of things. And so we really felt like not only was the community fractured, but this whole pandemic hit us individually in ways that fractured us. There was a sense of loss, a sense of disconnection to our normal way of encountering Jesus and God and the Spirit and all of that as we're going about our days. And so we really felt that if there was a way we could unite together as a people, albeit kind of over tech, or as we often say, you know, in a different space and a different time, but yet still connecting to God. And so it kind of came out of just really trying to meet the moment that we found this need to be together, to pray together in, again, strange ways. But that was a lot of the heartbeat of it. And kind of the pastoral heart behind it was meeting those needs, but then also giving just a little runway to what the Spirit may be doing kind of in the midst of all of this. And so we thought if we could create space to join together in this act of prayer, that quite honestly, this is stuff the church has been doing for centuries, is praying together. And oftentimes we forget the kind of broader picture of how God is moving through the church. And this is one of those ways where we are just tapping into really one of the resources the church has done for centuries, you know, through prayer, through pastoral reflection, through scripture, just the chance to gather and to guide in a moment of fracturing, you know, trying to rejoin together as the community.
So if it's more about kind of communing together, shouldn't we have called it commune prayer?
We thought about that. We thought about commune prayer. We did.
Yeah. But
that sends people in a little bit different of a direction. So Kathy, we're 6 months into this whole quarantine thing, right? Am I doing the math right? It's something around there.
Yeah.
This is something that started, you know, at the beginning, we kind of all thought maybe this would last like a month, and then it kept going. It's like, wow, this might actually last through summer. And now we're like, oh my gosh, this might last the rest of our life. What makes this tool, this common prayer thing that we're putting out, you know, daily, what makes this something that's still valuable for people? What makes it valuable for you?
I was just thinking that, even as we're recording this right now, my husband's family cabin in the Santa Cruz Mountains, not too far from Mount Hermon, is being threatened by fire. We took a lot of our most precious belongings out of it just this morning, and somehow, to be going through this pandemic and racial injustice, and an upcoming election, and the fires that are going on, I don't even know what else can happen. And today especially, but this whole time is feeling really overwhelming to me, because I, not in my wildest dreams, did I ever think that the Rona, as my daughter calls it, would go on so long. And I know that it's one thing that scripture tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. But I think, oh my gosh, Lord, seriously? This is like ridiculous. And the things of this world have never bummed me out more than right now. But Jesus is not bumming me out. Jesus is not letting me down. And I need this tool of common prayer because it just helps me to focus on Jesus. A friend of mine and I just yesterday were talking together and she said, Kathy, isn't it? It's probably pretty important to pay attention to the difference between what we called the difference between self-care and self-comfort. Mm-hmm. And let me explain what I mean. I have, I think, this mutual bent towards self-comfort, especially now. And it kind of goes like this. In this season, as it goes on, and even in March, I was aware that I need like some radical self-care. Self-comfort are things that I do just to make me feel better. And if there's ever a time that, you know, that could happen is right now. You know, I could bake bread for my neighbors and to be a good person, or I could make it, you know, to stuff my face, you know, for self-comfort. But self-comfort, like, numbs me and weakens me and even can help me hide. But self-care, and I don't mean this in like a selfish way, but self-care in that I am responsible for myself. You're not responsible for me. Self-care awakens me and emboldens me to like rise. So starting off my day very intentionally with Jesus, specifically in common prayer because of what we do, being in his word and prayer, letting him speak to me in these moments that are so, so difficult, making this time is not only useful, but I'm desperate for it.
Oh, man, I think that's... I think that's great, Kathy, because, I mean, I think we all resonate with that idea of kind of finding our own self-comfort or self-medication kind of thing. We find that everyone has their own flavor, right? Like some people, right. it's Netflix. Some people, it's alcohol. Some people, maybe it's naps. I don't know. But the reality is, like, I feel like, you know, you see all these kind of New Year's-like resolutions when we started this quarantine thing, where we come into this season, we're like, you know what? I'm at home. I'm gonna make the best of this. I'm gonna remodel my house. I'm gonna
learn,
you know, work out every. There's so much that you know we thought, but as we get into it, I think it's really, really easy to not be intentional, like what you're talking about. Like I always think about the gym. I had a gym membership for a very brief time because it was so expensive, and you'll find out why I dropped it. I would go to the gym and I would see people that I knew, and so I'd like walk up to the treadmills and talk to people, and then I'd go and I'd be like, you know, I'm gonna do the bench. That's what I feel like doing right now. I'd go and the bench is taken, so I'd go find someone else. And there were so many workouts where I would go to the gym, I would pay my monthly premium, and I would walk out of the gym basically doing nothing. Like, I was that guy.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy, Brandon, but it does show a little bit too that nothing is happening there.
I know. Luckily, this is a podcast. It's audio only. But, you know, I think that's a really good analogy for how sometimes we go, especially a season like this, you know, like sometimes, some days it's all we can do to just kind of like wake up and try to start our day. But if we can find ways of being intentional with our growth and not just survive this season, but actually look for the opportunity in all of this. And that's really, I think, what we're trying to do with Common Prayer, right? We're just providing a little bite-sized opportunity for you to slow down, for you to realign with God, and maybe start your day with a little bit more purpose, with a little bit more intentionality. Kevin, I'm curious, what's this season been like for you?
Yeah, you know, I think, Kathy, one, I love that image of like self-comfort versus self-care. And I think that's such a good kind of dichotomy between those two. Because I think one of the things that's happened, certainly for me, I don't think I'm alone in this, is there's a sense of, you know, when it all hit and we all of a sudden were weeks and weeks locked in, there's a sense that everything that was kind of beneath the surface just kind of rose up to the top. It was this kind of, this really exposing feeling. Like I just felt like all of, you know, the things that I could temper with busyness, with hurry, with schedule and work and all of that, were all of a sudden stripped. And in some ways, like it exposed this reality of me. I think one of the quickest and easiest examples of this, is, you know, there's a way in which I can kind of fight like my impatience, right? By just filling my time, you know, is I can fill it with things to do, being productive, all of those. But all of a sudden, like all of that was gone. Like there was a sense of like, I was still busy, but yet I gained an hour in commuting. I gained time in this and that. And all of a sudden I was waking up. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to shower. Although I still do, but not all the time. But there's a sense of like my
Is
whole
that
life.
You wear your hat?
Yeah. Sorry. I've become a hat wearer. It's less hair to do. But there's a sense of like, everything was just brought to the surface, and it exposed the things that we could once hide, the things that we could medicate with self-comfort, whether it's Netflix, whether it's whatever. There was a way in which we just became exposed to that. In a very real sense, I couldn't hide behind hurry anymore. And I think in a lot of ways, the hurry and the pace of which I was running life was able to suppress so much of those deeper things beneath us. And there's a way in which this all, like this whole COVID thing has exposed all of us. And it certainly exposed a lot of those insufficiencies myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, at the very beginning of this season, I want to say back in March or something, I was on a walk and I kind of felt like, I was getting this sort of Holy Spirit prompting to write a song about, this season. And I didn't really know what that meant. I remember calling a friend, and she was really like kind of ruminating on John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and that kind of thing. And I remember calling you, kind of asking you to sort of flesh that out for me a little bit. And you said something that was so helpful for me. I haven't finished the song yet, so it wasn't that helpful. But it, in terms of what we're doing with this whole common prayer about just abiding in Christ and what that actually means for us in this season. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's so much of, you know, Jesus in John 15, that text you mentioned, draws this really helpful analogy that really simplifies what it means to follow Jesus, right? He says, John 15, 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches, this is Jesus speaking. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And there's this sense that the imagery, the metaphor he uses is this idea of remaining, as the NIV says, or I think a better translation is that word you use, Brandon, of abide, of abiding in God. That's so much of following Jesus is just remaining present and connected to Jesus. That's really the aim. I mean, if you were to reduce the definition of prayer down, I think that's what it is. It's simply abiding in him, being present to Jesus. I think when Paul says that we need to pray continually, I think that's what he's getting at. It's this idea that we can live in such a way as to be connected to that vine almost every single moment. You know what I mean? Of that's the task. And in some ways, like that's what common prayer is offering, is we're offering a brief start to your day or close to your day or whenever it is that you listen to this as just a way of breaking the chaos to everything else and for a brief moment connecting with others to God and abiding in God. I really think that that's so much of how simple it is, right? Jesus again says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Like it's not a like maybe this will happen or that. It's just if we remain connected in the very presence of God, which can be as subtle as, you know, it doesn't have to be locking yourself away in a closet and journaling for hours or whatever, but rather, like for me in this moment, it's oftentimes doing dishes and bringing my mind's attention to the presence of God in that moment, or folding the umpteenth load of laundry, because kids have a billion clothes that they, at least my girls, change about every half hour. But it's the idea of, in those moments, how can I capture that as an opportunity to be in the presence of God, to mm-hmm. abide in Him, to welcome Him into those rhythms.
And you know, I noticed, Kevin, what it doesn't say in that passage is that if you remain in Him, your circumstances will improve.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, I feel like some of us might look to God as kind of like a quick fix to our circumstances. And if there's anything that we've realized about 2020, it's that we don't know what's around the corner. But there's a strength, and there's a... Yeah, there's an energy.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, when we can stay rooted in Him, at least we know that exists, you know.
Yeah.
There's something that kind of grounds us when the world is crumbling around us, which I just really love. Well, yeah, Kathy,
it's a little bit of that. It's that stability piece. I think even Kathy, when you were talking earlier, I think of this image of stability, of what are those rhythms we have that transcend kind of the moment. A lot of Jewish people would talk about Sabbath as a sanctuary in time, which I've always thought was an interesting analogy. But if you think of the history of the Jewish people, right, they're ones who have been without land, who are often transient and moving from one place to the next. But this idea of Sabbath for them was that was the sanctuary they met God. And it didn't matter where they were. It was the sanctuary in time. And in some way, like this idea of common prayer, of prayer, is irregardless of circumstance. You know, it doesn't matter where we are, what's happening. There is a moment in which we can pause, break the rhythm, and meet God in time, right, in that space. And in some ways, that's what these rhythms of prayer do, is they offer that kind of sanctuary.
That's cool. I love that. Kathy, so looking at this next season of common prayer, this ain't your grandma's common prayer podcast. This is not commune prayer. There's some cool stuff happening, and this is going to look a little different than the first season. Can you tell us a little bit, some little teasers of how it's going to be different?
Yeah, I will sure try. I was thinking when you guys were just talking about that last answer that most of my life, I had in my mind that prayer was talking to God, and it certainly is talking to Him, but prayer is also listening to God. And there's something about common prayer in season one, but in common two, in season two, that will have, it will be similar, but a way that it will be a little different is that we're going to have some additional time to be still, to be quiet, to listen. And I don't know about you, but I need that. I go to sleep at night, or try to go to sleep at night sometimes, and it's just wah, 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 wah with everything that's going on in the world. So there's going to be some additional time for silence, time to be still, to listen. And Kevin, feel free to jump in on this.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things too, as you talk about that silence is, you know, what I have found is that, you know, silence has a way of decentering ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. because I think one of the things that we'll do different this season is we're going to begin each podcast with a little bit of space for silence. And mm-hmm. I think so often when we come to prayer, we rush in with a litany of things that we want to say and do and bring before God, which is important. And there's a place for that, and there will continue to be a place for that. But often when we rush into prayer with that, it centers us opposed to centering God. And so when we begin in silence, it affords this opportunity to place God and the presence of God center, and then we come. You know, so it's slowing ourselves down, but it's also then a subtle recognition of what's coming, right? It's bringing, we are bringing ourselves to God. God has been there. God is present there. And so often it takes us coming to that, you know, more than the other way around.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that's going to be different that I'm actually really excited about is we're going to be having semi-regularly, we're going to be having, you're going to be hearing different voices. So mm-hmm. you'll hear not only voices from our congregation, but you're also going to hear some voices that are kind of expertise in this field, if you will. The first time I ever went to a prayer house to just hang out with God for like an hour, I went, they always had live music going. And I remember meeting this person who was something I'd never heard of, a full-time intercessory missionary. And they got their support and, you know, all that. Their full-time job was literally hanging out with God all day. And it was just mind-blowing to talk to these people. Like, they're just so connected with who God was. And that's when I realized, man, there are people that that are better at this, that are further down the road. Maybe not better. That's the wrong way to say it. They're further down the road, you know, on this journey that maybe, you know, we're all going to be at different places on our journey. But to be able to bring in some of these people that have been down this road of being able to kind of just be in God's presence and learn really what prayer is, we're going to hear from them over the course of the season. So I think that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah.
Brandon, that reminds me, and I think it's Philippians, or maybe I'm just having a brain warp and can't remember this right now, but there's a verse that says, remember those who went before you, and considering... excuse me, considering the outcome of their faith, imitate their faith, or considering the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. And so we're going to include some people that have walked with Jesus for longer than we have, or in different ways than we have, like Brandon said, from the congregation and outside too. And I think that will really help. And then, Kevin, maybe you want to speak to how we're going to do the content a little differently by using the church calendar and it being communicated like that.
Yeah, yeah. One of the ways that we, again, in a way of really playing off this idea of common prayer, of connecting to a greater community, is we've decided that we want to actually follow what's called the lectionary, which is kind of a fancy $10 word for a Bible reading plan, if you will. But a lectionary is what a lot of the church kind of around the world uses to guide their scripture readings. And so we're actually going to have, that'll be available on the church website, cpc.org/spiritualformation or something like that. We'll figure it out and put it in the show notes or something, but we'll have a access where you can actually read along. And so in some ways, like the scriptures are already laid out. And I think one of the reasons that I'm intrigued by following something like a lectionary, is it's another way to decenter ourselves and connect us to a larger body. Followers of Jesus have used that throughout the centuries as a way of holding a community that's dispersed across so many different spaces together. It's they're all going to the scriptures in those ways. So each day, the lectionary provides a couple psalms, couple texts from the Old and the New Testament. And what we'll do is we'll kind of draw out one of those texts from the offerings that are available for that particular day. And that'll be the center point of our meditation and what we're bringing to that. So some days it may be kind of one-off text here or there. Other days it may be like we're going to begin in the book of Ephesians and we're going to walk through a lot of the book of Ephesians going through that. But it's again, a subtle way to where we submit to something greater than ourselves, the greater community, which is also a little bit, you'll notice that we'll be using some of the church calendar, things like Advent and Lent and those sorts of rhythms and church holidays. We're going to be submitting in a way to that rhythm of the calendar year as well, as a way of drawing ourselves beyond even CPC, but into a larger community of faith who've been following God. And so you'll notice some of those things that those might be a little more subtle, but they'll be there kind of behind the scenes as well.
So Kevin, to wrap this up, I am at the metaphorical gym right now, and you are my metaphorical personal trainer, and I'm thinking about signing up and joining, and I just want to ask you, like, is this really going to do something? Is this really going to affect my life in any way at all? And how's it going to do that anyway? Like, is this really worth doing? That's kind of what I want you to leave us with, and I hope the answer is yes.
Yeah. Well, I am definitely a metaphorical trainer, not an actual. That is a good example at a metaphorical gym. That is good. But, you know, I think going back to what we talked about of the idea of having other voices who've done this for longer, you know, when I look at some of the heroes of my faith, whether it's the, you know, I think of guys like a Paul Hills that no one knows because he was a middle school leader for me when I was a lost, awkward middle schooler. And then, but I think of those, the Paul Hills, those who have come alongside me, or even those who maybe are names that we've known of authors, you know, like a Dallas Willard or a C.S. Lewis, or those who've followed Jesus and gone before us. You know, one of the things I notice about their lives is they live differently, not in necessarily the grand ways, but in the minor ways. And I think common prayer offers the opportunity to just carve out a new habit, a new rhythm. You know, we become what we are doing, right? Like in some ways, like to be human is to be dynamic. We're constantly changing. And so much of following Jesus is done in the mundane. It's in the day in, day out. Like, you know, I often joke that we don't have really space for boredom in our world anymore. Like that's like a relic from the 90s or something. But the reality is like following Jesus is so much in the mundane. It's in the Mondays through Sundays, the regular slow rhythms, the small ways in which we just abide in Christ, to go back to that image. And I see that in those people who I look up to as those models of the faith. And so I think what I would say to my metaphorical gym attender, Brandon Passion, would be to just show up. You know what I mean? Is in some ways showing up and engaging, just bringing yourself into the presence of God at a daily cadence has such a potential when you launch that over the next two decades, right? When you just show up in small ways for the next decades. We're not talking about weeks. We're not talking about months. The spiritual journey, the spiritual, you know, the act of spiritual formation happens slowly over time. And there's no shortcut than just kind of showing up. And so that would be a little bit of the encouragement, is just continue to come back here and let's together as a community struggle through this and figure this thing out and just show up day after day in prayer with one another. And we'll see what happens.
And I'm just kind of hoping too that this being involved with common prayer and showing up every day will really help all of us be better at seeing ourselves more clearly, seeing God more clearly, with the love and the goodness that He brings every day to us, and that I'll be able to, and we will be able to live with more purpose and just not forget our calling in the midst of these unknowns. And just keep at it, being faithful.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I think that's a great place to end here and launch our official second season of Common Prayer. We hope and pray that you guys will get on board with this. The best thing is you don't have to get on a treadmill or a stair climber or lift any weights. Yep. You also don't have to pay any monthly fees. It's all free. And speaking of that, one thing that's really cool is that this is now available wherever you get your podcasts, unless you use some weird little bougie podcast app like Kevin does. But even that, we're going to be working on. So you can go and get this, of course, from the CPC website, the CPC app. You can also get it from the Apple Podcast Store or the Google, what's it called again? The Google Play Store?
Podcast.
Google Podcast.
Podcast Play Store.
Yeah. So you can get it wherever. Spotify. You have no excuses now. It's so easy to come by. Put it on your device, on your non-existent commute, on your walk, on the trail, whatever you're doing. We just hope that you're going to join with us in that. We start seeing some cool stuff happen out of this. So,
all right.
I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. Make sure to check back daily for more episodes at cbc.org. Thanks for listening.